Thanks, Michael. So the reading from today is Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 56. It's on page 817 to 818 of the Church Bibles, if you want to follow along, and also on the screen. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before the dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the word of God.
Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be here today. For those who don't know me, my name's Steve, and I've been coming for the last 5 years, and what a joy it has been coming here and getting to know you all and falling in love with you. That is the truth. Now, I hope that you've enjoyed our little sojourn through the book of Mark over the past few weeks, because I found it to be a great blessing to me. And I hope this is a case for you too. Now, I realise that there are some people who are tuning in right now who aren't very well with COVID, and particularly Tony, who's had a pretty rough week. So I hope that these words for you guys who are doing it pretty tough at home, this will be encouraging for you. But first, let me show you what my beloved wife gave me for Christmas. It's really exciting. Now, I realise that it's the Lunar New Year, the Chinese New Year, and I used to work in a Chinese church and they used to give me bags like this. I forgot this. I thought this was Christmas, but actually it's Chinese New Year. But I'll tell you what she gave me. She gave me a box of licorice all sorts. Look at the size of it. And it's still got lots in there. And then she gave me a very large Toblerone. Now, Jen, you know I've been working so hard at losing weight. I don't know what's behind all this, but I will get into that soon. But she did give me an exciting gift that I've never seen before. It's called a monocular. Now, a monocular is like the poor cousin to the binocular. No. But it's used, I understand it's used, if you've got an object down the back or in the distance, you can focus in on that object and it will bring clarity to it if you zoom it in. And I can see Cassie way down the back. But Russell's head's in the way, my goodness. And it brings Cassie right up close to me. Now, why am I telling you about the monocular? You need to put your monocular on now as we come to the scenes that are set before us today. You need to tune in, fine-tune it to see what God would have us learn about an extraordinary Saviour and Lord in Jesus. You see, today's text is another reminder of the power and the wonder of our Lord Jesus Christ as he continues to build his credibility to the claim of being the long-awaited Messiah. And the miracles that are before us today have such a rich tapestry of fundamental themes that weave all the way through Jesus' ministry. They include compassion, they include love, relationships, partnerships, control over nature, the ability to make provisions for life, and this incredible healing power. And one commentator that I found states it like this: in a sense, this is a cameo portrait of God's grace and the offer of his presence at a table where he provides for his children. You know these events so well. We've heard them during our Sunday school days. We've heard them preached in this church and other churches often. I want you to use your pretend monocular to focus in on the qualities of Jesus so that you can be convinced beyond any measure of doubt that Jesus is the leader above all leaders, the Lord above all lords, and the King above all kings. Someone that you can put your complete and utter trust in every minute of every day for the rest of your life, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of the issues that are pressing in on you. He needs to be the Lord and you will be greatly blessed. Let me pray. Father God, as we come to these accounts this morning, give us your sight to see the wonder of the person that you have sent on a mission to bring us to you, to bring us salvation. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit might take the scales from our eyes to see this amazing, amazing situation of you demonstrating your power, of Jesus showing us his power to convince us beyond any measure of doubt that he can be trusted regardless. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So the first account of this miraculous feeding of well over 5,000 people, I say well over because it says 5,000 men, so if you put in some women there and some children, well, I don't know. Rod, you're the engineer, how many people do you think? 27,000. 27,000, okay, I'll accept that. 27,000 people at this remote outpost has been an encouragement to many a follower of Christ down through the ages, and I am no exception. And each gospel writer, that means Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, record this event. Significant. And being the visual person that I am, it's not hard for me to just picture these thousands of people gathered around Jesus as he ministered to them. I can even see the increasing frustration of the poor disciples when Jesus, in typical fashion, responds to their obvious concern about the people by suggesting that they should go home and find accommodation and some food. You see, the disciples actually showed concern for the people. Yet Jesus says, pipes up, you you give them something to eat? I'm looking out upon this vast congregation of people, according to Rod, 27,000. And they say to Jesus, what? I see, I can see it so clearly. I can visualising them holding these five loaves of bread and two fish and showing this morsel to Jesus and saying, come on, this is not enough to feed us. And then I can see these many groups of people sitting down in their groups of 50 and 100 scattered across the green grass, wondering what Jesus was up to. And then I can see Jesus so clearly holding these five loaves and two fish and giving thanks to his Father for even this small morsel. And then I can see the disciples hurriedly running around with baskets that never seem to empty. And I marvel at how they return. Do you marvel at this? With 12 baskets full of food that was left over. And then I can see and witness thousands of people satisfied with the food that the Lord had provided in such an amazing way. Why should the disciples doubt him? Why should you doubt him? Has God not done this same miracle time and time again when Moses led his people out of Egypt? Did not God send manna from heaven day after day for 40 years? Did not Moses do exactly what Jesus did and set people up in groups of 50 and 100? It's all been done before. Except back then, there weren't 27,000, but it was estimated that there were 2 million. And God provided for 40 years. Are you like the disciples and continue to doubt the power and wonder of this man Jesus with every situation in your life? Well, my dear brothers and sisters, pull out your monocular because we need to examine the first quality of Jesus. And this is, Jesus is the Lord of compassion. Firstly, spiritually speaking. Last week, Rod Pratt took us through Jesus sending out the 12 disciples. And Mark records it like this in verse 7. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out, two by two, and gave them authority over impure spirits. I went to the Gospel of Luke and just had a look at what Luke had to say. So in your Bible, just turn with me to Luke chapter 9, because it's not up on the screen, I don't think, where he records of what Jesus did. It's in verse 1 of chapter 9, I believe. Yes. Let me read this to you. When Jesus had called the 12 together, note this, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He gave them the power and the authority, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom. He gave them further instructions, and before long they were off and running to village after village doing just what they had been told. And we pick up now in our text for this morning in verse 30 that after a time of ministry, I'm not sure how long the disciples were out and about, they had returned to Jesus and were keen to share with him how it all went. And they had withdrawn to a quiet place by themselves for some time out. And at last they had this special time to be just alone with Jesus, their master. They were tired, they were hungry, they needed some rest. However, this special time of closeness, of intimacy, was soon interrupted by the masses. Thousands of people, my goodness, thousands of people had travelled to the exact place where Jesus was listening to how his men went in carrying out those tasks that he sent them out on. And I noticed that as I peer through my monocular, the reaction of Jesus is of great importance for you and for me. So listen carefully. I draw your attention to verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw such a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Unbelievable. Instead of being annoyed, instead of feeling enough is enough, instead of sending the masses on their way because they were tired, he had compassion on them. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed healing. You see, in this verse, we witness a Lord who shows genuine love for the people. We witness a Lord who has compassion, not to one at a time, but to thousands at a time. We witness a Lord who not only ministers to them physically, but also spiritually. We witness a Lord who wants to be the shepherd of these very, very needy people who needed a shepherd. We witness a Lord who wants to bring these lost people into his Father's kingdom so that they can enjoy him forever and ever. Oh, what a Lord! A Lord who has complete understanding of the bigger, long-term picture. See, Jesus wanted them to know about his Father, and he wanted them to become citizens of his kingdom. What a lesson for the disciples. What a lesson for you and me. But dear friends, can you see the wonder of our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, to have someone who would care for us like this Jesus. Oh, to have someone who looks to the long term and for our eternal well-being. And yet we do. This is phenomenal. We have this same Jesus showing his love and compassion to us right this very minute. He is calling out to each one of you to follow him and allow him to be the shepherd of your life, leading you to these wonderful pastures of green grass and an eternal peace and rest with his Father. Why wouldn't we follow him? This great and awesome shepherd. You'd have to be crazy not to, surely. Do you need further proof of how worthy Jesus is to become the Lord, capital T, capital H, capital E, the Lord of your life? You see, Jesus not only cared about their spiritual needs, but he cared for their physical well-being too. And this is our second finding as we zoom in with our little monoculars. You see, Jesus is the Lord of compassion, physically speaking too. You know, the disciples were in much need of rest and sustenance because it was late in the day. They'd been on a big mission. They'd travelled many, many miles. And this is a remote place. And they say, Mark says, and it's already late. And the disciples say, send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Now, that's a fair request in my opinion. We'd do the same, wouldn't we? But Jesus had other plans. And if you look carefully, Jesus is about to teach his own disciples a thing or two. You know the story so well. Jesus challenged them to feed the multitude. And they balked, as you and I would balk. This is impossible. There is no food. Well, there was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Not enough for a few hungry disciples, let alone 5,000 men. Yet this Lord Jesus uses what he has before him. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Extraordinary. And Mark records in verse 41, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. You see, Jesus went to his Father in heaven and sought his blessing and empowering. And what a time and reminder for us, because look what happened. And if you're following in your little notes that I've put for you, you need to fill in the gap here. You see, nothing is impossible for God. And Jesus knew that, and by his example, we too have an example of what God can do. Jesus is in fact shepherding his people to us, to his Father. He's shepherding us to his Father too. Imagine what that means. In him, we have the all-powerful God as our Father, who could feed 5,000 men or 27,000 people in an instant. Why wouldn't you want to have a relationship with the all-powerful Creator God? You'd have to be crazy not to want this, wouldn't you? But there is more. The other important action I note through my pretend monocular is that Jesus desires and wants to partner with his disciples to meet the multitude's needs. You see, I see in this that Jesus is the Lord of relationships or partnerships. Now, the disciples simply took what the Lord Jesus provided and fed 5,000 men. They did what was asked of them, and a great event unfolded. Now, I know, and you know, that Jesus could have fed the 5,000 men by asking God to drop manna from heaven. He'd already done that, we know that. But he has decided that he wants to partner with humanity to be about the business of building his Father's kingdom. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. Staggering. Imagine that. Jesus and me. You and Jesus. How incredible that he wants to partner with us. Are you willing to allow Jesus to partner with you? My goodness. I think about it. What could God or Jesus do with you? You see, nothing is impossible with God. I can testify to that. I've been on great adventures over my life since I came to allow Jesus to be the Lord of my life, taking me all sorts of places. And now I stand before you. He's taking me here to preach to you today. Crazy, isn't it? But what could he do with you? He is the all-powerful God. It's wonderful just to think about. And Jesus was teaching his disciples how to minister to the people. But let us not forget what the disciples were faced with as the masses of people congregated around them and Jesus. You see, when they thought it was time for the people to go home, or at least to go to the towns and villages for food and lodging, Jesus did something that should encourage and excite you. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 obviously indicates how Jesus meets the needs of the people. But there is something that stands out for me in this little bit here. In this miracle, the provision comes through the disciples. Remember, as Rod taught us last week, Jesus had commissioned the disciples to share the kingdom message. He gave them power and authority. Yet at this time, they still needed to be reminded of what they could do through Christ. And Jesus shows the disciples, and I'm hoping he's showing you too, that they have access to his authority through his enabling. And with the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus did something quite extraordinary. But the disciples were the ones whom Jesus uses in this miracle. They were charged with serving the people, just as we are charged with serving the people of our day. If Jesus is your Lord, then you know that you too have been called to serve the people that surround you. That is your calling. And the dynamics of serving, of successful serving, are timeless and still the same today. You see, the ministry of our church here at Bulleye involves a call to minister through Jesus and for him. And he will enable us to do great things if only we would inquire of him and seek his leading. But we first need to step out in faith. We need to leave our comfort zones. We need to look to him creatively, and he will take us on new and exciting frontiers of service. I can testify that. I already have. It's wonderful. And again, just in case you need further convincing, because I think the disciples did. They weren't there yet. Look what happens next. Because we see Jesus as the Lord who controls nature. So pull out the monocular again to the scene that is about to unfold. Finally, in utter exhaustion, Jesus sends the disciples to the boat and instructed them to head to Bethsaida. Jesus sent the crowds home finally after they were satisfied, and then he went up higher on the mountain to spend time with his Father. Spend time with his Father to pray. Isn't it interesting that even Jesus needed time out? He too was tired because he was just a human like us. But I love what he does. He rests and spends time talking with his Father. How wonderful. What an example for you and for me. If Jesus needs to rest and pray, then so do you and I. He needed to be re-energized physically and spiritually. Why? Because he knew exactly what was awaiting him in just a matter of months or so. And he needed the encouragement from his Father to continue on. Just like we need the encouragement of our Heavenly Father to continue on. Remember that sermon from last year about don't be surprised when fiery trials come your way? Well, a fiery trial was coming Jesus' way. We need to be prepared. So get Jesus as to be Lord of your life. Now come to me to this amazing scene. Nothing is too difficult for Jesus. We must remember who he is. Whilst being a mere human, he is divine and he has power over everything, including nature, as we will see. Now, consider the poor old disciples. Where were they at this time? Well, they were out rowing their boat in the middle of the lake. Of course, the wind came up and they were straining. They were dead dog tired. They were battling this strong wind. So much for rest. Mark records, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them, said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat to be with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. More about that last little bit in a moment. Is there anything Jesus cannot do? Did you not notice how the disciples reacted? They were terrified. Grown and hardened men, petrified at what they were witnessing. Jesus defying nature. Jesus walking on water. And did you note that it was no mill pond? The wind was up. And here is Jesus walking safely on top of the water, faster than they were rowing the boat. Can you see it? It's bizarre. It's staggering. No wonder they were afraid. I would be. I haven't seen anything like this. Have you? Has there been ever a recording throughout history that somebody's done this? Not to my knowledge. Yet the disciples should have known. They'd seen so many miracles, but something was missing. Notice that Mark says that their hearts were hardened. Interesting. I've been pondering this all week. What's going on here? Why are their hearts hardened? It appears that their hearts could not yet accept the power and wonder of the Lord Jesus. It was as if their eyes were closed to what was happening around them. And when I was writing this, I've actually got the words, the buffheads. Why couldn't they see and understand? Surely to goodness. But would you and I be any different? I've been challenged to consider what Michael's been preaching for a long time now, that the Christian faith is a revealed faith. We need to have our eyes opened by the Holy Spirit. And these buffheads, well, they weren't really. They were a work still in process. And I love how Jesus responds to their terror. He calls to them, take courage, it's I, don't be afraid. He's probably saying that to you today as you face difficult issues, don't be afraid. Because just like the disciples, we still are a work in progress. And the disciples at this time were not yet ready to take over the mission that Jesus was preparing them for. I guess it was not until the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon them that everything changed. But here they see the Lord who has incredible power even over nature. Can you see this Lord? Can you see him? He even walks on water. Who do you know that can do that? Therefore, are you prepared to entrust your life to him? I'm talking about every aspect of your life. Every aspect. You'd be crazy not to do so. Do you need any more proof? Well, can I encourage you to cast your little pretend monocular one last time to the next scene? Fine-tune it, for once again you will see so clearly a Lord that is ever so merciful, ever so loving, and one who is able to heal anything. You see, Jesus is the Lord of love who has incredible power. Come with me to the text again. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognised Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, whether it was into the villages or the towns or the countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And look at this. And all who touched him were healed. What can we say about this? I can only come up with one word: staggering. Maybe two words: magnificent. Maybe three. Amazing. Well, I could come up with many more words. People were just touching his garments and were being healed. Oh, the power and wonder of this man, Jesus, is awesome. Well, our little journey through Mark has taken us to the lofty heights of seeing firsthand the power of Jesus as he seeks to establish the kingdom of God. We have been privileged to witness miracle after miracle. We have seen God's Son in action, seeking to bring humanity back to his Father. We have testified to Jesus' great love for the people. My goodness, who wasn't moved when Jesus brought Jairus' daughter back to life? And what about that woman who had been bleeding for 12 years? And how he healed her? Brought my wife to tears when she read from the Bible that day. And I'm sitting there thinking, my goodness, Jan, what are you doing? Oh, my goodness, do you see this, Steve? What about the women in across Africa and Asia who have these fistula problems? And God has sent out men and women to heal them. It's staggering. And here we witness, the demon-possessed man who had a legion of evil spirits inside him. I tell you, we are witnessing a Lord who has power over everything. And yet I ponder about this. I find it hard to accept that just in a very short period of time, all these miracles would be forgotten. And they would nail Jesus to a cross. And he would die for them. Yet he knew this. And still he reached out to all and sundry with incredible love. So I say to you this. Surely this is a Lord who can be trusted. Surely this is a Lord that you can follow. Surely this is a Lord that you can give your very life to. How could you not? The Lord who loves, the Lord who shows compassion, the Lord who is merciful, the Lord who looks to his Father for blessing, the Lord who is happy to partner with ordinary people like you and me to be about his Father's business. The Lord who has power over nature. The Lord who gives and gives and gives and heals and heals. And the Lord who is shepherding his people to greener pastures and preparing a place for those who trust in him. One question, or two questions. Have you done it yet? Have you put your complete trust in him? Have you put every sector of your life before him and left it with him? You would be crazy not to do so. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank you again that you've given us eyes to see a most remarkable Lord, the Lord of Lords, in fact, the King of Kings, the God of Gods. Therefore, I ask that if we have hardened hearts, that your Holy Spirit will soften them. Take the scales off our eyes, even though we might know Jesus as Saviour. Help us to really trust our lives to him so that he can become the Lord of our lives. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being very patient with me this morning.